Good morning. Good morning, you guys. I hope you're doing amazing. I hope you're loving your city, wherever it is you live, your neighborhood. In the name of Jesus, we are spreading his love. Like, that's our purpose in life. That's our mission in life. We just want other people to know Jesus. We want them to know who Jesus is. They could have all the toys in the world. They could have all the money in the world, popularity. But if they don't have Jesus, they are eternally and spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing. They have nothing but hopelessness in their eternal future. So let's be wise and share the love of Christ with the world around us. Okay, let's do that. Our Vacation Bible School is coming up in June. We're having a comedy night next Saturday night. Come and join us if you want. Nate Bargetsky is going to be on the screen. Easter is coming up at the end of this month. Be ready. We're going to have a continental breakfast at 9:45 to about 10:20. So come and join us for that and for some worship. And then we are reaching for more in 2024. That is what we're striving to do. And so we're going to get right at it. Oh, wait, one other thing. Especially for you guys, we're going to attempt this again. We're going to go live, Burlington CC NAP. This is what you're going to want to go to on YouTube. Find our channel, subscribe to it, get connected to it so that when we go live, it'll pop up for you and it'll say BCC is going live, okay? And that's where we'll be for the next couple weeks. I'm going to do both. But eventually, in a couple weeks, we're gonna let go, quit the recording, and go just to live again when we get the, when we get all the little bugs out. Okay, so we'll see how it goes. We're gonna try. Not the most tech savvy people in the world over here in Burlington, North Carolina, but we're gonna try again. We're gonna try. Okay, so hang with us and see what happens. We're talking about your faith has saved you, and been on this topic now for a couple months, and we have taken it up a notch a little bit, and we are now talking about extreme faith. And we've looked at some different people who have shown us extreme faith. Today, we're going to talk about a guy in the New Testament whose name is Simon Peter. Peter, son of John, Peter. Cephas in Aramaic and Peter in Greek. His name means rock. He's Jewish. He seems to have been married. At least some of the language he uses seems to indicate that he was married. He is the brother of Andrew. Andrew is the one who brought Peter to Jesus. Remember, Andrew met Jesus through John the Baptist. And he brings his brother Peter to Jesus. He lived in Capernaum up at the top of the Sea of Galilee, right up at the top there. That's where he's from. Peter, James and John, the brothers James and John and Peter together are men of the sea. They are fishermen. This is what they do for a living. They have a business together and they catch fish and they sell fish at the fish market. And they make their living doing this thing. Peter played a huge role in not just the life of Jesus as an apostle, but in the early life of the church. And we're talking about the extreme faith of Peter. Extreme faith of Peter. A guy really who, in spite of some negative publicity about him, who did some things that were questionable or a little crazy, he did a lot of awesome things, Peter did. He did so many awesome things. He got right far more than he got wrong. I know people like to point out the wrong, but Peter did a lot right. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. That ought to also encourage you and me. That he got more right than he got wrong. Now, everybody gets things right and wrong. Hopefully, we're getting things right more than we're getting things wrong. Hopefully, right? That's the goal. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to get it all right. But if we can get most of it right, you know, then we're moving in a good direction, right? For Peter, he was an apostle, right? He's part of Jesus' inner circle. It was Peter, James, and John were part of Jesus' inner core, his really home buddies, right, that Jesus went to and brought with him in certain times that the others didn't go to. Peter's the one who made that great escape several times from prison. He had the catch of a fisherman's life with Jesus, right? Peter took the gospel to the Gentiles. He performed many miracles and wonders and signs in the name of Jesus. Peter's the one who preached that first sermon on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 people were saved and baptized into Christ. Yes, it was Peter who denied Jesus three times. Okay, this is the guy we're talking about. And in that, he showed his weaknesses and he showed his humanity and he showed his passion. It was Peter, though, who also made that first and great confession when Jesus asked him, "Who do the people say that I am?" And then he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I hope this morning, as we're beginning this message today, that in our own hearts and out loud and to the world and to anybody who will listen, we are unashamed and unafraid to say, "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And I need you as my Savior." If you'll do that, you are moving in a beautiful direction. You are demonstrating that your priorities are right where they need to be, that God is number one in your life, and He is Lord and Savior. He has all the authority in our life, and everything now that we do in life is going to line up underneath that umbrella of His Lordship. Now, I'm not going to do anything, say anything, or be a part of anything that is not going to line up with my confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, maybe for you today, you need to line that back up. Maybe you're saying on one hand, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but the things you're doing are not falling under that lordship of Christ. If that's you, maybe there's some adjusting that needs to be made today. So Peter has this extreme faith. And extreme faith doesn't mean that we are perfect. The Lord knows far better than that. What it does mean is that I am sold out to living for God and living for Jesus 24/7. I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not quit serving. I am committed to the mission of Jesus. But I also realize that there will be moments of weakness in my life. The flesh is going to battle me all the way. I'm in a battle, and I realize it. And sometimes I'm going to win, hopefully more often than not, but there are going to be times where the flesh in me is going to have its way. Like Paul said, I am torn between the things that I know I should do and the things I find myself doing at times. The passage that I want to focus on today with you is found in Matthew 14, okay? Matthew 14, if you would, go there in your Bibles. And God's word is another big word for us today through Peter, okay? Through this Simon Peter character, okay, that we read about in the New Testament. It's a big word for you and me today. And it wasn't just for Peter, it is for us. And I hope we can make this as applicable and as real to you and me in our lives right here as we live on this earth as I possibly can, as we strive, or as I strive to bring the passage that we're going to look at to life for us. I hope that it's more than just a cool Bible story, but that it will prod us and push us and challenge us to having the same kind of faith, even if it doesn't last long. You know, even if it comes and goes, We will be committed to Christ above everything else. So it's another big word. To Noah, God said, you're going to need a bigger boat. Remember, that's extreme faith. You're going to need a big boat, Noah, not a little boat. To Moses, God said, part that sea. That's a big word. You're talking about parting the Red Sea. That's not easy, okay? Only God is going to be able to pull that off. Well, today's word today is simply this. Peter, walk on water. Peter, walk on the water. How cool is that, right? Now, you might say, you know, guys walk on water all the time, right? It's called the hockey game. They play hockey on the water all the time, but we're not talking about hard water. We're not talking about ice. We are talking about liquid H2O. Peter, walk on water. Walk on it. And so we're in Matthew 14, 22 to 34. Let's read it. Here we go. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. He just fed the 5,000. After he had dismissed them, Jesus, he went up into the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. This is going to be a sweet story. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiping, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And when they had crossed over to the land of the Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him, and they begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. That's incredible. That is an incredible event. But here's where we're going to go, man. This is such a good, powerful example of God's goodness for you and me. But here's the Sea of Galilee, okay? And that's pretty much it. You can see the other side. I mean, it's down low. Most of it is, the edge is up on a hill. And so you can see about the entire lake from almost anywhere. It's just right there in front of you. It's a big lake, but it's very visible. And like every act of God, God sets the stage. He's always setting the stage. And there's like preliminary work that has got to be done. There are pieces that need to be put in place. And our God, he is the master of setting things up. He's the master. In fact, this is what, you probably don't realize it, but he is setting things up in your life. He has set things up in your life in the past to bring you to this moment, and he is setting things up in your life right now to bring you to the next one. And everything builds on each other. That's how God works. He's always working. He's always setting things up, and he's doing that in your life. He's doing that all along the way. Constantly using us in the now, setting us up for the future. Believe it. Believe it. He's doing his thing in you right now. And one day it will happen. God will do something big. God will do something great in his kingdom if that is what you want him to do in your life. If you are hungering and thirsting for the Lord and you're saying, God, use me in some big way, he is going to. He is just preparing the situation, the setting for it to happen. You just keep faithful to him. Be devoted to him. in this event, Jesus has just spent the day in the hills on the side of the lake, up in the wilderness part, away from everything and everyone, and crowds of people have come. So he's just spent the day teaching them, and then he fed them. 5,000 men plus women and children could be close to 10,000 people or more. He dismisses the crowd, and then the Bible says immediately Jesus tells the disciples, get into a boat and head off to the other side of the lake, to maybe Capernaum, wherever they're headed next. And Jesus goes up into the mountains to pray. It seems like just a normal day in the life of one of Jesus' disciples. But it is anything but just a normal day, right? Fat chance of it just being a normal day. Now look, when we decided to follow Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. You may not remember this, but you were saying to Jesus, Jesus, spice up my life. Jesus, do something crazy in my life. Do something radical in my life. Jesus, come in and just wreck my life with your kingdom. That's what you said to Jesus when you invited the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into your life. You were saying, Jesus, do something incredible that I could never do on my own. So if your life isn't spicy with Jesus, it's not his fault. It is not him. Get in the boat, bro. Like, get in the boat. Get in the boat with Jesus and let him spice up your life. Verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. This is not a good day for fishing. If you've ever been on a lake or on the ocean and the water starts getting rough and the storms start rolling in and the wind starts blowing and the waves get there before the storm does. The storm is working in the ocean way over there. You might even see it at a distance. That's what's cool about being on the ocean. You can just see storms coming. And in some ways, you can kind of go around them. But you're going to feel the effects. The waves are going to start getting higher before the storm reaches you. It's not a good day for fishing. I have been there. Maybe you've been there. It's kind of a nauseous day out on the ocean. They're out there in the middle. Some time had passed. How much time had passed? Well, there's some indicators on how much time had passed. How about this? Verse 15, earlier when it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus during the feeding of the 5,000. They said, hey, it's getting late. The people are hungry. Should we send them away? And Jesus says, have them sit down, and he feeds them. So evening was approaching at that point. Then he feeds them all, and he dismisses them. So however long it takes to feed, maybe 10,000 people. It probably took a little while. Several hours to pull that off, right? Then it says when evening came. That's another indicator that evening came. Before it was just before evening approached. Now it's evening came. So some hours have gone by and there they are. Jesus has dismissed them. He's put the disciples in the boat and sent them off. In verse 25, it says shortly before dawn, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. So this is another indicator of the time span between them getting in the boat, setting sail, and Jesus is up in the hills praying, and how much time went by before he came to them. This is the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. They ate dinner the night before, and he dismissed them, and it was just before evening. Now it's 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, and he's going out to be with them. Some say 6, 7, 8 hours may have passed. The boat, another indicator, is far from land. The boat is out there in the middle of the ocean. Or, not the ocean. It's out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, right? That's where the boat is. Several hours have passed. Remember, this is a small boat, okay? Here it is. This is a small boat. It's kind of like this, okay? It's probably got a sailboat, and it's also got maybe an oar or two that they can row with if they need to. But you got to consider this. Small boat, not a big vessel. Okay, this is a small, this is not a speed boat where everybody jumps in and you're flying across the waves like people like to do. These guys are in this boat, and there's 12 of them, and they are crammed into this boat. They're crammed into this boat. So think Volkswagen Bug with a bunch of people in it. Go get in the boat, guys, and sail across the Sea of Galilee, and I'll catch up to you in a little bit. And what happens is the wind kicks up. The wind kicks up. It says the wind was against them. You know what that means? That means they're going that direction, and the wind is in their face. It's working against them. It's pushing them back that way. So they can't use their sails. If they were going that way, they would have crossed that lake in an hour. That wind would have just blown their boat across, but they're against the wind. They are going into it. And now they're rowing into the wind. If you have ever rowed a boat upstream or tried to swim upstream against a strong current, it is nearly impossible. You will wear yourselves out and you will not get anywhere. And they're out in the middle of this sea. They have no sails to use. They are rowing against the wind. And a 3 or 4 hour trip across the sea has now turned into a 7 to 8 hour trip across the sea. It says that the boat was buffeted by the waves. It was tossed by the waves. It was going left and right and up and down. It was a storm of storms. This word buffeted is related to the word tortured or tormented. This is strong language. This is not just a rowboat like in a little rowing, you know, way short, small, 2-3 feet waves. This is 6 to 8 feet waves. The boat's going up and down. It's being tormented, and the boat is rocking. It is a rocking boat, and they are in trouble. This boat could be swamped at any moment, and they could all be stuck in the middle of the sea. And who knows what might happen. They're in trouble. And so it's got to make us wonder, just for a second, what was Jesus seeing at the moment? I just think about, here they are in the middle of the sea. From the shore, you could see the entire sea. What Jesus was up in the mountains, up in the hills, and no doubt he was looking over the sea. He could see it all. What was he seeing? Like, this is maybe his view. He sees the sea. He sees it turning up. He sees the storm rolling over the other side, and it's now over the lake. And maybe he sees the boat in there, but with all the storm, maybe he doesn't. But he definitely sees it's chaotic out there, right? He put 12 guys in a little boat, and he sent them out there. Think about this. This is a mighty storm, and the boat is in the middle of it. And he can see pretty much everything going on. What we have here is the first episode of Survivor. This is the first episode of the show Survivor. Get in the boat, guys, and go on out there, and let's see you guys survive. Out you go into the storm. And the testing has begun, right? More testing for his disciples. There is no time out there in this boat, in this storm, with the waves doing what they're doing. There's no time for finger pointing, right? Blame game. There's no time for that. There's no time for pouting. There's no time for arguing. This is men of God, work it out. I'm sending you out there. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get hairy. It's going to get chaotic. Work it out. Work it out. How beautiful is that? It's kind of like your whole family, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 of you jumping in the car and you're driving across the country to go on vacation, right? You're going to have to work some things out in the back seat. Just work it out, right? You just can't jump out of the car. It's not an option. You just don't jump out of the boat. Another indicator, verse 25, it says this: shortly before dawn, That's the breaking of a new day. The next day, his sun's about to come up, right? This is the next morning. Oh, man, I could preach a whole series. We could talk about dawn in a whole series of sermons, right? First light, the morning light, sun up, at dawn. The whole night has gone by and the sun is about to come up. Jesus has been up in the hills the entire time. They've been out on that lake fighting this storm the entire time. Many hours have gone by. And at dawn, Psalm 130 verse 6 says this, "My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed more than the watchman at dawn." At dawn. In Mark 135, the scripture says, "In the morning, long before dawn, Jesus went up to a place where he could be alone and pray before dawn, before that rising of the sun." And maybe this is the word that you need today. I don't know. Maybe this is the word that some of you are listening in, and this is what you need more than anything else, that God just wants to meet with you. For Jesus was getting up early and going away and being alone and talking to his Father. Perhaps this is the beginning of an extreme work of faith in your life. God is saying, it's just going to start with your prayer life. You just come and meet with me. Get away from the chaos. Get away from work. Get away from the people and just come and spend some time with Jesus. Maybe that's going to be the beginning of God doing something incredible in your life. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Here he comes, right? This is a Rambo moment. This is the Terminator spotlight. This is Jesus saying, "You guys just hang tough. I'll be back. I'm coming back. I'm coming to get you. I'll be there shortly. You just hang in there." Now remember, he left them in the storm for hours. And they're out there duking it out with the storm. They're duking it out with each other. This is not out of meanness that Jesus has sent them out there. This is out of refining. This is a refining moment that they need in their life, that you need in your life, that I need in my life, because God knows that the flesh is weak and we are so prone to retreating. We're so prone to giving up. Well, out in the middle of a lake, in the middle of a storm, there is no going anywhere. There's nowhere to go. You got to work it out. Don't you love that about God? Man, I love that. And we got to note this. Look, he just spent yesterday teaching them and all these people about the mission. Crowds of people and the need for these crowds of people to have. Get the most important point of the whole yesterday message of the feeding of the 5,000, and that is people need the bread of life. People need Jesus in their life. And these 12, they are about to carry the gospel to the world. They will hold salvation in their hands. Jesus is counting on them. Jesus is entrusting in them. And so Jesus is going to deal with every nook and cranny of their heart. And there is no better way to do that than in a life and death situation out there in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, with 12 guys in a boat working it out. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in one of these life and death situations? It really is a sobering moment in your life. And things get real, real fast, don't they? In a life and death, maybe an experience, maybe a boat out of there on the ocean yourself. Maybe in a car wreck, maybe in your own life, your own health, a life and death moment where everything comes to a crashing halt and you have to really consider what is most important in life. We need those. We're gonna get those. They're gonna come. We're living on the planet. It's going to happen. But when they do, they ought to snap us out of our confused state of just drifting and focus us on what's really important. Jesus is pushing them to the brink, and they have tied that last knot on that rope, and they are hanging on for dear life. But here he comes. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, and when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Here comes all the emotions, right? As if the storm itself wasn't enough. Now there's this ghost walking on the water, and they can barely see it. It's foggy. It's rain. There's water in their face. The wind's blowing. They're shifting. The wind's everywhere. And there's this object walking on the water, and they're freaking out. And here's what it says. But immediately, Jesus is so immediate at times. And other times, he'd just say, hey, it's not time yet. My time isn't yet. You just got to hang out there in the storm and fight it. Work it out. But at other times, Jesus is like, here I am. I'm there at a moment's notice. And it says, immediately Jesus says to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And even if they couldn't figure out that it was Jesus by visual, they could hear Jesus's voice in some way. And they knew that in the middle of their freaked out world, Jesus is here, and he has brought peace, and he has brought security to a chaotic situation. Now here's the thing, the storm is still there. It's still raging. The difference though is Jesus is with them in the middle of it. And here comes then Peter, right? Peter's like, come on guys, man up. Come on, get out of my way. Get out of my way, you bunch of wimps. And then Peter throws this crazy idea out there to this voice, ghost, out there on the water. He says something crazy, and here's what he says in verse 28. Lord, I can imagine his voice is quivering. He's probably very uncertain about what he's about to say, but he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's you, just tell me to come to you on the water. Now, did Peter expect Jesus to say, let's go? I don't know, maybe. Probably Peter had no idea what to expect next. Peter probably couldn't believe he was even saying this. But he's a I'll try anything kind of guy. I'll try anything kind of guy. Bungee jumping, let's go. I'm in. Skydiving, oh yeah, let's go for that. What's a little walking on water in the midst of a killer storm? I can do this. I love doing new things, right? And so Peter's like, Jesus, this is such a sweet moment. Peter's like, Jesus, can I try? Can I try to do what you're doing? What a beautiful question. Isn't that like, this is what faith is all about. I don't know how you're doing that, Jesus. It kind of goes against everything we all know about logic and, life and molecules. I have no idea how you're, but Jesus, can I try? Can I do that? Do you get that? Lord, can I try? Lord, bid me to come to you. That's what Peter's saying. Lord, let me come to you. God, get me out of this boat. Get me out of the boat of whatever you want to call it. Conformity, right? Just ho-hum living. Of course, the boat was in a storm, but get me out of this and get me out there on the water. I want to do something radical, Jesus, with you. The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. And we don't get what we ask for because when we ask with wrong motives. We ask for selfish reasons. Peter says, Lord, can I try? And Jesus says, come, come. Four-letter word, one of the most powerful in the world. Come on. Come on, Peter. Come, come. See, God is in the business. He is in the business of pulling and prodding and pushing us out of our comfort zones. We're not talking about salvation. That's a free gift of God. We're talking about living lives of extreme faith. This is second level stuff, third level stuff, fourth level. This is going deeper with God and wanting Him to wring out of your life everything He possibly created you for. It's just hungering for God to do something supernatural in your life as much as possible every day. I want to just live this, God. This isn't just, I go to church. That's a joke. This is, God, do something incredible in my life. And Peter is like, Lord, just bid me to come. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Come on. Into the wild kingdom, Peter. Let's go. Let's go into this ministry of craziness and reconciliation where you are going to reconcile people to God. Forget about the stuff of the planet that means nothing. You're going to bring people to the creator of the universe. You are going to be part of this wild kingdom of this mission out into the world and penetrate darkness and fight against spiritual forces of evil. This outreach mission, Peter. See, we don't have this radical experience because we don't ask for it. We're too busy playing it safe. We're caught up in our own stuff, bickering about things that don't matter at all. But be aware, if you ask for this, He is probably going to say, let's go. He is probably going to say, come on, let's do this. And this is exactly what He does with Peter. And so for Peter, at this very second in his life and his history of this moment, it's the moment of truth. You asked, and He said, let's go. Do you really want to follow Jesus? And are you willing to follow Him anywhere? Really, Peter? Anywhere? How about on some water? In the middle of a storm? In the middle of the Sea of Galilee? And here's the moment of truth. And then the Bible says this. And then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. What a beautiful moment. Oh my goodness, could you imagine this? Peter's like, I am walking on water. This is better than catching the biggest monster fish I've ever caught. It's freaking me out at this very moment, but it's so exhilarating at the same time. Aren't the greatest moments in life filled with those two things? This sense of fear and this sense of excitement. Right? Life is like that. Those are the most exhilarating moments in life. Like if you go skydiving or you go bungee jumping, you do any kind of extreme activity, mountain climbing or deep sea diving, there's both of these things are there. There's a sense of fear and respect for what you're about to do and that it could kill you. But there's this sense of freedom and exhilaration that you are doing something that is making you feel so alive. Even the birth of a child is like that. There's so many emotions mixed up in it all. This fear and this pain and the emotion and the joy and the responsibility and the hope and a baby. For Peter, this is the moment of great courage. This is the moment of great trust. And this is the moment of great extreme faith. And it lasts for about 15 seconds. 15 seconds. Because God isn't afraid for you and me to know the rest of the story. It could just end right there. And they were on the shore, and what a beautiful scene. What a beautiful ending. But it doesn't end right there. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. there's the flesh, right? There's the flesh right there battling you all the way. It doesn't take away from his moment of extreme faith. It just confirms that when the supernatural and the physical meet up in our lives, both of them are very active and very much alive. And we, by our will, we decide which one we're going to listen to, which one we're going to focus on. You and me, we decide this in our own life, in the middle of our own storms, in the middle of our own decisions, all the while knowing that Jesus is right here with us. He is with us in the middle of the storm. He is with us. He is for us. When our faith begins to waver, immediately he reaches out his hand and he caught him and he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they climbed into the boat and then the storm died down. It's so good, isn't it? Isn't that good? He throws them into the storm. He conquers the storm and the waves and the sea, and he's right there with them in their moment of disparity. And then, verse 33 says this, then those who were in the boat with them worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And this is why they're out there, to confirm again in their hearts, to drive it deep in their minds, the power of our God. Lesson learned through trial, through refinery, that Jesus is the King of the sea and of the storm, and he can empower us to walk with him anywhere. Peter! Just like us, right? If you have multiple children in your family, then you know that they're all a little bit different, right? Peter is what we would call something of a slow learner, maybe a late bloomer, act now, think later kind of guy, right? It took him a little bit to get it. He's very impulsive. He just goes with his gut and he goes quick. One minute, he's ready to chop a man's ear off. The next minute, he acts like he doesn't even know Jesus, right? One minute, he's questioning Jesus's fishing tactics, and the next minute, he's ripping off his clothes and jumping in the water just to be close to Jesus in this huge catch of fish. One minute, he's questioning Jesus. One minute, he's denying that he knows Jesus, and the next minute, Peter is being executed on a cross upside down because of his love for Jesus. See, extreme faith, it's not about knowing everything. It's not about being the bravest all the time. It's not about being the smartest, the quickest, or the most talented. Extreme faith is about complete trust in Jesus, the one who can. It's about saying, "Jesus, I want out of this boat. I trust you in the middle of the storm, and I want to walk on some water with you, Jesus." Extreme faith simply says, "Can I try? Can I try, Jesus, something radical, something crazy, something outrageous, together with you? Can I try, Jesus? Bid me, Lord, to come." I hope and pray that that's the kind of faith you want in your life. That's the kind of faith I want in my life. Bid me to come. Send me to go. Help me to have the courage to do whatever it is you want me to do. I hunger and I thirst for you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, you guys have a great week and go live some extreme faith. Go get out of the boat.